Cynthia's father was in sales, I would say, most of his adult life. He had a plaque on his desk for many years. It said, "Nothing happens until somebody sells something." And in part, that's probably pretty true. Somebody has to go out and sell something before anything really is produced in mass or made. Any service is made. There has to be a need. Somebody has to do something, sell something. This morning I want to speak to you for a while on prayer, and we will do this over the next several weeks. But nothing I will say, nothing happens until we pray. In the relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, He can shower us with His love, but nothing happens until we acknowledge that love, until we have a conversation with Him, until we pray to Him and say, "Yes, Heavenly Father, I acknowledge You as Lord. I want You to be the Savior of my life." And Cynthia and myself and our love relationship, she could shower me with all the love she wanted in the days that we were dating. Oh, and she did. She did just endlessly. It was pathetic. It was just crazy. You know, putting it on thick. But that was it. But you know what? Nothing happened in that relationship until I acknowledged that. And if I showered her with all the love, there would nothing happen in that relationship until she acknowledged it from me. And then there's a connection. I love you. Oh, you love me. Oh, let's get married. That's the way it is with God, our Heavenly Father. He can shower us with His love. And it is there. The Bible tells us that it's everywhere. But if you don't acknowledge it, I'm not going to say God wastes His love on you. But yeah, it's there, but you're not accepting it. And when you pray a prayer of forgiveness and accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and acknowledging Him, then there's that connection to you. And you begin the conversation, which we call prayer. God invites us into this relationship with Him. And in all kinds of church studies, and you know there are a lot of people out there who just love to study. And even in conversation with people and fellow pastors and churches in this community, we know that one of the greatest weaknesses of the church is prayer. Is prayer. I'm not going to do a survey this morning and ask you how often you prayed this week, or do you set a time aside to pray, or what is your prayer life like. But let me just say this morning that collectively, and I'll even throw myself in there, because I do believe that even in my life, there's more room for prayer. There's always more room. But one of our great, as a culture, as a church, great weaknesses is in this area of prayer. And we need to acknowledge it. So what does Scripture say? It says, if when we confess our weaknesses, God will give us strength. That's spiritual growth. If I want to get better at golf, which I do, okay, don't expect anything great tomorrow, okay? I can't go out and just practice everything that I'm good at. Because I'd only be about, I'm not sure there's anything, but maybe one thing, okay? If you want to get better at something, what do you have to do? You have to focus on your weakness and improve that. And then your whole, we'll say golf, game improves. In your life, what's a weakness? If you will confess that to God, confess it to Him and say, "Hey, prayer is a weakness in my life," He will help you make it become a strength, because you are confessing that need to Him. And His Word promises us that He will come alongside of us and help us to grow in grace and mercy and grow in our love for Him. Prayer can be difficult. Prayer can be difficult. Not because it is difficult, but because we make it difficult. In part, maybe because we really don't understand prayer. We think it's something that it's not, and we've got to fit a certain formula or format, and I just can't do that. There's a woman in town who's part of our Tuesday noon prayer group. And she made this confession to several of us there about a month ago or so. She attends a church in town. It's a good church. But for that church, the prayers are pretty much read. A liturgical church. Conversational prayer that we have in this setting is foreign to her. She said she found prayer difficult. She would be a part of a prayer group and hear people praying to God, having conversation with God, but she just pushed back on that, like, I can't do that. I can't do that. And then one day, in her reading scripture and in her quiet time with God, she heard God say to her, just talk to me. Just talk to me. You talk to your husband, you talk to your kids, you talk to your friends on the phone, just talk to me. And when she embraced it in that way, just a conversation with God, a whole new world of prayer, conversation with God opened up to her. Prayer is a very, very vital, it is the foundation of who we are in our relationship with God and who God is to us. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 18. And the word prayer is nothing more than giving an address or a petition, having a conversation, words with a deity. And we would say that our prayers are with God, our Heavenly Father. This passage of Scripture is the story given to us. It's Abraham. And Abraham is pleading for the city of Sodom. And let me read verses 16 through 21 for you. When the men got up to leave, now you'd have to go back, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time giving the format of this, but there were three men that came to visit Abraham and Sarah. They were from God, and they were there to talk to Abraham and tell him that they were going to have Abraham and Sarah were going to have a baby. Anyway, so now these men were getting ready to leave, and they got up to leave. They looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." That's God speaking. And then the Lord continued to say, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." Here we have an example of God inviting Abraham to be part of the conversation. God is having a conversation with these men angels who have visited Abraham, and he's saying, "Hey, should I invite Abraham into this conversation about the sin that's happening in Sodom and Gomorrah? Should we clue him in? Should we bring him into the conversation?" Prayer is an important element of our relationship with God. And I would say that in prayer, God is sending to us, he gives to us, he extends to each of us the invitation to join him in the conversation about the community that we live in, about the nation that we live in, about the world that we are part of. God wants to hear from us. How many times have you been a part of a conversation where somebody says to you, "Hey, I want your thoughts and ideas on a particular subject or issue." And you have some predetermined thoughts about this question that they've given to you, and you're energized by it, and so you tell them what you think. And you lay out a plan for them and say, "Yeah, we should do this and this and this and this and this." And then they go ahead and do what they were going to do, like you hadn't even spoken to them. Has that ever happened to you in life? Probably has happened to us. Okay, that's life. God is inviting Abraham to be a part of the conversation. Not that God needs direction from us, for we believe that He's all-powerful, He's all-knowing, He's ever-present. But I believe that He needs to hear from us because we are His number one prized creation. Do you believe that about yourself? Maybe as weak as you are, maybe you even think that you're worthless, pathetic, whatever. I would tell you that in the sight of God, our Heavenly Father, you are not. You are His prized creation, and He desires to hear from you. Inviting us into the conversation, God does that, just like He invited Abraham into this conversation. Now let me read verses 22 through 26 for you. The men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Notice how God didn't say anything about destroying Sodom. He just said, "I'm going to go take a look at it." He didn't say, "I'm going to go take a look at it, and if I find sin, I'm going to destroy it." For me, that tells me that Abraham knew God. And he knew that God was a righteous God. And he knew that Sodom was an evil, sinful place. Abraham then knew the heart of God against the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham confronts God in this prayer, in this conversation. Verses 27 through 33, I'll invite you to read those this afternoon, but it continues this conversation between God and Abraham about what God is planning on doing, this plan that God said He wanted to share with Abraham. But Abraham boldly confronts God and says, "Hey, for 50 people, would you destroy all of it?" And the number gets smaller and smaller and smaller. "Would you destroy it for 20? Would you destroy it for..." God will do what God wants to do. Abraham did not convince God to save Sodom and Gomorrah. We know the end of the story. Those two cities were destroyed. But he did rescue three people that were very important to Abraham: Lot and Lot's two daughters. So this little passage of Scripture, verses 16 through 33 in my Bible, what do we learn about prayer? What does this teach us about prayer? Well, let me repeat it. God wants to hear from you. Abraham's story teaches us that God wants to hear from us. He wants to hear about your life. How's it going? What do you think? What are the challenges you face? What would you like? What are your plans for the day? Now, we know that God is all sovereign, all powerful, and His plans will prevail. But yet God wants to hear from us. And our prayer conversation helps us get to know God better. Prayer isn't all about just talking to God. It's a quiet time as well. And our Saturday morning men prayer time here at church, I would probably confess to you and others that are part of that Saturday prayer time might say the same, that we have conversation, then we have conversation, we talk to God, and then we get up and leave. And we go have a cup of coffee and more conversation. But yesterday, something interesting happened at the end of the prayer time. It was quiet. And I don't know how long it was just quiet, but it was just quiet. I appreciated that yesterday. Yes, prayer was a conversation with God, but in the quiet time listening to Him, letting His Spirit speak to our spirit, we can get to know God better. And we get to know Him better through prayer and, yes, reading His Word. But Abraham learned about God through this conversation, that God is a merciful God, that God is a just God. The second thought is Abraham teaches us to be bold. Dare to say to God what is on your mind. God is not offended when you remind Him of His promises in Scripture. That's why I like praying Scripture. I like going back to passages of Scripture and praying those passages of Scripture back to God. He wrote that word. He wrote, gave that Psalm 86 to David. We read it today, but really those are God's words given back to us by David. God is not offended when we remind Him of His promises that we find in Scripture. Now, don't take promises outside of Scripture and pray those to God, because I believe that He may or may not honor those. But yet, when you really want God to respond to a need in your life, find a passage of Scripture that you can take back to God and say, "Hey, God, this is what Your Word says. This is what I need." Abraham was not disrespectful in his conversation with God. He didn't call God names. He didn't get mad. He didn't throw a tantrum. He was just reminding God of who He was. Those verses of when Abraham was speaking back to God, when Abraham is reminding that God, "Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" That's what Abraham knew of God. He knew that God was a just God. He was a righteous God. God would judge rightly the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. He was just reminding God of what He knew about Him. "Hey God, You're a just God." And that's what Abraham was expecting back from God. Abraham acknowledged God was and is the only righteous judge. Only one. We're flawed in our judges and our judging. Did you read the article in the paper earlier this week about Judge Phil Seth is retiring? Did you read the article that was in the paper? He went back to a trial back some years ago, and he said if he had one regret in the years of being a judge, he pulled one out. He said, "That one." He didn't say much about it, but yet maybe he was acknowledging in some way that he wasn't the perfect judge. Scripture tells us that God, our Heavenly Father, is the perfect judge. Abraham was reminding God that He is holy, He is righteous in character. And when you pray, when I pray, we need to have that in our heart and our mind when we talk to God. That He is a righteous God. He's a holy God. We need to acknowledge that. Point three, in his boldness, Abraham remained respectful of God. He was humble. We know that God does not like pride and arrogance in His children. Don't be prideful. Don't be arrogant in your prayers. Don't tell God that He owes you something. He doesn't owe you anything. He gives you free grace and mercy. He gives you His love. And that needs to be enough for us. But Abraham, in his prayer, his conversation with God, teaches us to be humble. Not to talk to God in a prideful, arrogant way. In praying to God, we must remember who we are. And we're talking to God. And He's our King. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He gave you the very breath that you're breathing. Number four, Abraham teaches us it is okay to be persistent with God. And that's a theme throughout Scripture. We see Jesus giving parables and talking about that when He's teaching His disciples. It's okay to be persistent with God. At the very base of Abraham's conversation with God, he was not asking God to save the buildings of Sodom and Gomorrah. What was he asking for? He was praying for the salvation of the sinners, the people that were in the cities. I believe that Abraham could have cared less about the buildings of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham saw the cities. When he saw the cities, he saw people. He saw sinful people. Abraham wanted God to save the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham had a great vision. He had a great desire. He wanted the salvation of those people in that city. And I would say to you, and I say to myself, that we must be persistent in our prayers for the salvation of our neighbors. Pray for your family. Pray for your neighbors. Be persistent. Remind God of the promises of Scripture. But be persistent in praying for your friends and your family. In your prayers, do you pray for the salvation of people you know who are caught in a life of sin? And do you give them their names? Or do we just like throw an umbrella over it? Okay, God, you know who they are, now just take care of it. I believe that God wants us to carry this burden in a very personal way. And I'll say to you that it's okay in your private prayer, your conversation with God, to mention people by name that you know that are hurting, who need salvation, who need a touch from God. We spend a lot of time praying for sick people. We pray for those that are struggling with life issues. But I would say in our prayer life, we need to focus on the spiritual welfare of our friends and family. One of my favorite miracles that Jesus performed is recorded for us in the New Testament book of Mark, where Jesus heals the paralyzed man. After his friends lowered him through the roof of the house, the very first thing that Jesus did for that man was forgive his sins. And when those people around him said, well, you can't forgive sins. Who are you? Oh, Jesus said, oh, just so you know who I am, how about if I make this guy get up and walk? And he said to the guy, hey, get up and walk. And the guy got up and walked. God is all powerful. Jesus Christ, God's Son, is all powerful. What is he concerned about in your life? He's concerned about your sin, number one. We need to have that same care and compassion in our prayer life for those that are around us. We need to pray for the spiritual life of our friends and family. We need to give them our best. If I were to pray for members of my family and their physical needs, but not pray at all for their spiritual need, oh yeah, I could pray and God could heal them. But then when they die, take their last breath, and they're damned to hell, what have I really done for them? I've done nothing. I have done nothing. Finally, we ask the question, was this prayer or conversation a success or a failure? Don't we grade everything in life, success, failure? Richard, yesterday, was it a success for you or a failure? If we'd give you 10 minutes, you could probably tell us. But he just gave me a thumbs up, so yesterday was a good day. But aren't we that way? We grade things success or failure. Was it a success? Yes or no? And if it wasn't, we'll either tweak it or we won't even do it anymore. And sad to say, we often do that with prayer. We pray about something and we don't hear an answer. We don't get the answer we wanted. And so boy, that didn't work. We need to go back to the thought and the idea to be persistent. It's okay to just remind God from time to time about those issues of life. But yet, prayer isn't something that we can grade. It is for God to judge. It is for God to hear us. It is for God to answer our prayers. Abraham, well, he got his nephew Lot and the two daughters, but yet Lot didn't get what he wanted. Sodom and Gomorrah, the people of those two cities were destroyed. What about God? What did God get out of this? Well, he shared his heart with Abraham. He shared the plan. He talked to Abraham. They had a conversation. They got along together. It was a foundational prayer for the rest of Abraham's life. God wanted to share with Abraham who he was, who God is. And Abraham responded in the conversation. And yes, Abraham prayed and had this conversation with God. In the realm of prayer, what do we think of prayer? If I said prayer, what are your prayer time? We think about a pastoral prayer on Sunday morning. We would probably say grace before a meal. Designated prayer times. You know, you can pray to God any time of the day. It's just a conversation. It's a conversation. You can be outside doing yard work and have a conversation with God. You can be sitting in an office somewhere and have a conversation with God. Whatever, whatever's on your heart, whatever's on your mind, God wants to hear. There's always that open door policy with God to have a conversation with Him. He wants us to know who He is. And we will find out who He is as we talk with Him. If we never had a conversation, you would never know who I am and I would never know who you are. Really know who we are. And in getting to know God, we have conversation with Him. We have prayer. Oh, yes, He gives us His Scripture, but that's His Word. That's His conversation to us. God, our Heavenly Father, is always available to us. Engage God in a conversation. Have a desire to know Him more. He desires to know you more. And He will learn about you through conversation, and you will learn about Him through conversation. We call that prayer. Prayer is the fancy word for just having conversation. But that's all it is. I want to give you a homework assignment for this week. I want you to engage God in a conversation. Verbal conversation. Go for a walk and just talk to God. Have a conversation with God and tell Him what you're thinking about in a particular situation of life. We all have life. Life happens to us, right? There may be a challenge that you're facing this week. Maybe you're anticipating something and you're worrying about it. And we know what Scripture tells us about worry. Don't worry. It gets you nowhere. But yet there are things in our mind, things that are happening around us all the time. I want you to pick one thing, and have a conversation with God about it this week. We've read in Scripture that Abraham and God had a conversation. God had a plan for the city of Sodom. He invited Abraham in on that conversation, and Abraham talked to God. Something's happening in your life. What is it? Dare to go to God and have a conversation with Him. Be bold. Be persistent. Be respectful. And then listen. Read His Word. Pray His promises of Scripture back to Him. Reminding Him of the promises. Reminding Him of His love for you. And then watch and wait and learn about God. And do it through the element of prayer. I can say to you this morning that I know that God answers prayer. Why? Because He's done it for me. He's done it for me. I'm here with Cynthia this morning because I prayed a prayer when I was 19 years old and I needed to know the answer to a question. I prayed a prayer to God. And when He answered that prayer, I know that it was God who answered that prayer. It was a circumstance, but yet I saw God in that. And I knew that God was saying, oh yeah, she's the one that's going to love you. Now love her back. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we worship. He's concerned about us. He's concerned about you. He has a plan for your life. Dare to engage Him in that conversation. Don't just have a conversation with somebody next to you and then still struggle with it. Go to the one that can give you help. And that will begin with a conversation of prayer. Do it this week. And then come back next Sunday. And we'll spend about 5 minutes next Sunday. I'll set it aside. And somebody, I want you to share next Sunday what you gave to God and how He answered it. He's a God who hears our prayers and He answers our prayer. Do you believe that? If you believe that, I want you to stand. If you don't believe that, you can just sit here all day. Okay? Isn't that amazing? We all would embrace the message today, right? You believe that? If you believe that, say amen. Amen. It means you agree. That was really pathetic, okay? Do you believe that God hears and answers prayer?
Amen.
All right, that's good. I think God heard that one, okay? Let's pray. Father, it is amazing as we read Scripture how we see that you engage us. As you engaged Abraham in this conversation, you could have come down and destroyed Sodom, and who would have known? But yet you didn't. You stopped and you had this prayerful conversation with your servant, Abraham. Father, help us to take this example of Scripture and apply it to our lives today. That you are a God who loves us. You are engaged in our lives. You want us to be engaged with you. And in that, we will know about you and you will know about us. So, Father, this week we give to you a life situation. We're looking for answers. We need you. We need your answer for us. I don't want to roll the dice. I don't want to pick the short straw. I want to know what you know. And so, Father, let that answer come to each of us this week as we give to you life situations. Thank you, Father, for this gift of conversation, which we call prayer. Now let us leave this place and go out and be a blessing to those that we encounter today. Thank you, Father, for your love and your care for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go and be a blessing.